no, I don't feel right today. So, and I see that, you know, what had happened in our parking lot too. So, but then I said, maybe it's not the right word. Maybe that's what it is. But then it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit coming upon us. And then right away you started speaking about the Holy Spirit. And I felt that that was, I did feel that was a confirmation. You don't just pull little straws out of a box or something. But I did feel, and I said to her, I was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And we both got that confirmation. So we put our hearts and minds together. And peace. Everything getting better, brother?
Yeah, good.
Okay, it's good. Praise God. All right, so Father, I just lift up this word to you, Father, and we're excited, Lord. We're excited about how you have taken care of every little dot, everything, oh God. You have your church, you have your men, you have your women, children that belong to you that you call the righteous. Covered. You have plans for us, oh God, things that we cannot see. You will be calling us, Lord God, into situations, and your mighty power will be upon us. Your direction, your leading will be with us, oh God. And we thank you, Father. We don't have to be afraid or worry, Lord, because you have a plan. You have a plan for everything that's going on. And every one of yours, there is a supreme plan. And you will guide us and bring us into the center of your will. You are a father who knows how to take care of his children. You are a father that would never leave us, never forsake us. You are a father that calls us forth step by step, step by step, step by step. You were there when we were born, and Father, you will be with us when you call us home. Hallelujah. We are not alone. We are never to be lonely because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with us. And Holy Spirit, you are our guide. You are our strength. You are our power. You empower us moment by moment. You're the voice of the living God. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you. We hope that you will keep us aware, that we will remember that you are with us at all times, ready to teach us something and ready to instruct us. God, may we awaken to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as never before. May we become so aware and so sensitive. Sensitize us, God. Sensitize us to this presence of Holy Spirit. The presence of Holy Spirit. Sensitize us to know what his sound is, what his voice sounds like, and let us be able to close out all the other sounds and hear that one strong, mighty, anointed sound and leading of the sweet and powerful Spirit of the living God. At all times, in Jesus' name. Whether we walk through the valley, or whether we're on a high mountain, at all times. Amen? If you would turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1. And verse 8. Let's go to 7. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. They were asking the Lord, when is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? How is Israel, how's the kingdom going to be restored? And what's? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not for you to know. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That is a statement that Jesus Christ made. And he said, don't look to the left or the right, but know that the Spirit of the living God is with you. You know, when Phil Cappuccio was here 2 weeks ago, I think it was. What? Last week? He was here last week? Boy, I had a long week. Oh, it was glorious. It's with me like it, you know, just happened yesterday, but one of the very first things he said was, you are called to live in power. Think about that. Think about it. You are called, every single one of you, to live in power. To live in happiness, to live in greatness, to live in this, that. Listen, Supreme, you are called to live in power. I don't think we know, realize how powerful we are. I don't think so. I don't think so. If we went to a place where there were Satanists, they would know. They would see the power on us. They would feel it. They would know. They would know. I remember somebody was here years ago. The men were all gone. They were on the men's retreat and was just all ladies here. Years ago. And this man was here. And he got up and he said, I want you to pray with me, pointed to me. Well, anyway, he started slithering around, you know. There were no men. He had a big old knife sticking out of his pocket in the back. I said to one of the ladies, here, take this knife, go throw it in the dumpster. She went, ooh, 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 ooh. I guess I asked the wrong person. But it was good. It was good, turned out good. I don't know if any of you remember it. Yeah, nobody got hurt, it was good. Because we don't know the power. And it was the devil speaking through him that said, I want you to pray with me. It wasn't him, that was the devil that made him say that. Because the devil thought maybe he was gonna flip me around, you know what I mean? And, you know, I was a little shaken up by it. You know, I'm normal, human, but oh no, oh no, 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 no. When we started to pray and he started to sliver, he stayed there, he wanted help, but all of a sudden, you were here, Camille. I remember you were sitting right over there. And all of a sudden, he realized this man, he said, I don't want any more, I want out of here. And he left. And I remember the look on Camille's face, like she was so disappointed. I said, but he has the right to make his own choice, and that's the choice that he made. He went so far, he was being delivered, and then no more, I'm leaving. Right? But the thing is that I know that there is such power in us because Holy Spirit is inside of us. He lives inside of us. We don't often enough tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And I have had deliverances, didn't plan on most of them, but they just kind of happened. You know, I had a woman in my office, and my son was part of the sound team at that time, and he was here, it was in the afternoon, and he could hear This woman was flipping all over the place. And all I had, and she would stop, and all I would have to do is go over to her and whisper, Jesus. Boom, 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 boom. And my son thought I was getting beat up in there. I was just, okay, you know, go ahead. And the pastor was here, my husband was here. They just stayed in the offices and they prayed because they just felt something was happening. I'm not going to disturb it, you know what I mean? So, I mean, and she got clean. She got cleaned up. That worked out beautiful. And my son said to me, Ma, was she throwing you around? No, the enemy was throwing her around. But nobody got hurt. You understand what I said? Know what I'm saying? What I wasn't attacked. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can tell you time after time after time, but the fact is that there's a shield on us, and there's the Spirit of God living in us. Okay? You hear these stories of, you know, this person being thrown or I don't know, all these things. But something was wrong there. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't have to be afraid. Even if we walk in the shadow of death, who is with us? Who? The one that created the shadow of death, the one that created the whole world, the valleys and the mountains. Amen? He said, Phil said, you are called, and he was talking to the whole church, to live in power. And we can't underestimate God living inside of us. I want to just... I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I think that sometimes I miss the mark in who I am in God and what God expects from us. The key to understanding, my mind goes back to the garden because that's the beginning of the Word of God. So we can start there and just get a picture of understanding and accepting the marvelous truth is to learn how to live in the garden and walk with God. What did he desire from the first man, from Adam? He wanted to walk with God, with Adam in the garden. That was God's desire. Can you imagine? God creates this most luxurious, this most beautiful, fertile, beautiful, beautiful garden. And what he wanted was in the cool of the evening, come on, son, let's walk. Come close to me. Let's walk. Let's talk. Walk with me. Is that beautiful? Is that beautiful? That's what God had a desire for. Come alongside of me. Let's be close. Let's walk through the fragrant garden together. I wanna talk to you. I wanna hear your voice. I wanna share things with you as a father and a son. What a privilege. God, I believe, still desires to walk or have us walk in the garden with him. You know, we only see in part, amen? But a garden, that particular garden, was paradise, opposed to a forest, right? I see it symbolically as a safe dwelling place, like the ark where God brought his people in and they were safe and they were protected. He saved a small family of people from the destruction that was coming to all other men on the earth. I see it, the garden, as a secret place of the Most High, where secrets were being shared. I see it as a shadow. I see it as the shadow of the Most High. Psalm 91, he who dwells. How does it go? Say it louder. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. There's a place. Do you think that probably when God and Adam, if they were together walking, that it was sunny, it was bright, and God was casting his shadow on his son? God was casting like the innermost parts of himself. Sharing, willing to share with his son. Oh, how it was taken from them. Amen? Because of man's fall. But God still desires that. He still desires to walk with us that way, to share with us. And I know that we are walking with God. I know that. I know that we are seeking his voice. But I know also for myself, there's more to be attained. There's more than that. There's more. Jesus chose a garden to plead to his Father at the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where he went. He went to a garden. The birds were probably singing. There were some sunny areas, some shaded areas. It was probably a beautiful fragrance because it was a garden. And he went there to plead with his Father. Help me, Father, help me. So private and so intimate. The Bible speaks of the Garden of Eden and it explains, it describes. And there's also the Garden of Gethsemane, the garden of the empty tomb also. Jesus was laid in an empty tomb in a garden. In the book of Song of Solomon, it speaks of the lover's garden. I believe we're living in a time of turmoil, a state of great disturbance around us, confusion and uncertainty. Amen. But I believe during these hard times and as things get harder, God is calling us into his garden, the safe place where there's so much peace, and saying, walk closely with me, closer now than ever. Phil said, you know, you are called to live in power. How do you get that power? How do we get an increased power upon our lives? Spending time, right? Going to that garden. Even straining, in a sense, to hear his voice. Waiting to feel his presence. There is power that comes out of God as we wait for it, and it's for us. So I believe that the hard times are calling us into his garden to walk closely with him and to hear his voice. We receive his comfort there. Come to the garden alone. The Father is called the gardener in the Word of God. Amen. He's the gardener. We have to press in to hear that voice. He will speak and reveal even secrets. It's what he wants because he enjoys that. He wanted that from the beginning of time. In a time like this, we need a place of refuge, and it is there that God will prepare us for the days to come. And as Daniel, we must resign not to bow down to the enemy. We have to make war, not with the enemy. We have to make war with our own sins right now, with our own weaknesses. Call a war. It's war time. Come against our flesh now, so that more power can come in. The more we push out the darkness, the flesh, the sin, the more light will come in. But we actually have to make war, because there's a war going on inside of each one of us. The flesh and the spirit, conflicting, the flesh and the spirit. But we have to call a war, a holy war, and die to those things and fight for freedom, because it's those, even those little things, that the enemy knows how to take that little thing and rip open a whole big giant door and step in. Very easily, unless we are armed, unless we are prepared, unless we are even more devoted as time goes on. I'm not trying to be religious. I'm trying to speak truth. Whosoever, for whosoever. Amen? So Daniel, he resolved within himself, I will not bow down. I don't know what man will do to me. In those days, they did a lot of beheading. Excuse me one second. Oh, it's right there. But Daniel resolved ahead of time, not going to do it. Thank you, Lord. Even though he was captured by the enemy, he had resolved ahead of time, I will not bow down and I will not worship the enemy in any way. Not even to eat the delicacies of the king. Once he was taken, and now he's in this unfamiliar place, and he's one of the servants of the king. I will not even eat his delicacies. I will not join in with him. He saw it as something like intimate. I will not drink the wine. I will not bow down. Starting now, I will not bow down. So that when the time came, he was already resolved inside. And he wasn't going to break his assignment or his allegiance. He would have no connection with the enemy of God in any way. It's written in the first book of, in the first beginning, the first chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies. And when the king made an image of gold and had all his administrators and such come to the dedication of the image and told them, when they heard the sound of the horn or the sound of the flute or the sound of the harp, all kinds of music dedicated to this image, everybody bow down and worship the gold image. Bow down. Daniel would not, right? He was already, he would not defile himself. His mind was made up. He would not do it. Now, I'm sure that when he made up his mind ahead of time, that something in, I feel like something inside of David locked, like God came and took the key and locked that inside of him. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just trying to describe what I feel, all right, in the Word. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says, and this is John, one of the disciples, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast and his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and their hands. So let me just talk about that for a moment. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. So all they already were beheaded, amen? But he saw the souls of those who would not worship the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and their hands. Okay, I have to talk about these things, right? We could have a good sweet word, which we all need from time to time. We could hear, you know, a happy, glorious, powerful word, which is needed, and we hear it. But I know, as pastors all over the world, if we don't speak truth, and if we don't get our people ready, then we have not done the right thing. Amen? Amen. So, we know, as we read the word, we know what's coming. We know what's coming. We know that if we're still here, when these things take place, we have to make a choice. At that time? No. We can't make a choice at that time. We have to make a choice before that time. And you have to see yourself being strong. Amen. You know, in Revelation, and we've touched on it many times, it says that there will be a beast in the image of the beast. And people will be told to bow down to, right? To this beast system, to a man. The man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, who sets himself up as a god in the temple, after the temple is built in Jerusalem, right? The Antichrist will set himself up as God and demand to be worshipped. Those who do not worship the image of the beast will suffer the wrath of the Antichrist. But those who do worship the image of the beast will suffer the wrath of God, which is far worse. Those who refuse to bow their knee to the Antichrist and the image of the beast may be persecuted on earth, but they will be rewarded in heaven. The enemy wants us, you, to worship, give our devotion, our praise, our acceptance to the evil one who will stand in the tabernacle on that day in the future, which is not that far away. And we're being warned today. And we're being warned to wake up. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where your strength comes from. The joy of the Lord. To know the Lord and to be closer to the Lord as time goes on. Amen. It's the joy of the Lord. Do you want to be strong? Then it's the joy of the Lord. You go after the joy of the Lord. Where does it come from? How do we get the joy? We walk with him in the garden. Amen? We read the word. We read the promises of God. We spend time with God. And if we're going to make war with our flesh, we better be spending time with God. He makes all things beautiful and easier in his time. Amen? And he will strengthen us. The Spirit of God will bring holy conviction every time. I mean, sometimes lately I'm afraid to open my mouth because I feel so much conviction. Anybody else? Anyone else? More and more and more. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got such a long way to go. I feel conviction. It's good. It's not that God wants to keep hitting us over the head. Oh, you bad boy, you bad girl. No. It's the Spirit of the living God sensitizing us so that he can complete the work that he has begun. And all we have to do is say, I hate my ugly flesh. I hate my ugly mind. I hate my, being the center, me, being the center of everything. What is that word? Fallen nature. Self-will. Looking out for myself or getting hurt or, you know, all that kind of stuff, that junk. The sins that so easily beset us. Go! I want to be new. I want to be new in you, Jesus. I want to be like you, Lord. So I have to just repent if God is calling us to repent and tell him I want to change that and then do what I can in my human form to change that so that we walk closer and closer with the Lord. That when we're walking with him, we could hear him breathing. You know, we can feel that partnership, that companionship more and more, ever increasing till we see the day approaching. So the enemy wants us to worship, give our devotion and our praise, our acceptance to the evil one who will stand in the tabernacle on that day in the future, which is not that far away. You know, but let's think about it now. The Holy Spirit. Is in us. Amen? When we accepted Jesus Christ, the first gift we received from God, Holy Spirit. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we go hours, we don't even think about it. Maybe a day, 2 days, we don't even realize. But we need to have that companionship. We need to have that fellowship with the Spirit of the living God. Talk to him. The more you talk to him and ask questions, the more you're going to hear his voice. When Daniel would not bow down or give in, he was thrown into the fire with his two friends. Remember that? What's the matter, Deb? Yes. I'm sorry. So, and what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came and he looked in. What did he see? He saw the fourth man with them. That's what he saw, the fourth man. Who was the fourth man? And he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, like a son of the gods. That's what he said. He saw this fourth man, and that's what came out of his mouth. And this is a Qumran, it's called, community or Aramaic expression referring to the coming Messiah. That's what that meant. And people, he is coming. That brings us that joy. That brings us that strength. I am coming with rewards in my hand. We have no idea. How was Daniel able to stand against the fear and intimidation? You know how? Listen, the Word of God says, "For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Now I said we all have the Holy Spirit because we have accepted Jesus Christ. We were given the Holy Spirit as a precious, precious gift. But there are different times in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit came upon men and women. And that was when the miraculous strength came upon that person. The Holy Spirit came upon that person. He is our helper, our guide, guides us into all truth. He's teaching us daily. He's calling us into holiness in a greater way. He gives us promises. He is our counselor. He seals us into our faith. He is a voice. He is fire, oil, wind, giver of joy, life, and joins us in prayer. He gives us confidence. Let me ask you something. Let me just see if there's a testimony or two. Was there ever a time that you did something and then you thought to yourself, it was great, what you did was so good, like, I can't believe I did that? Can any of you think of a specific time? Can you? What was that time? Can you share it? Yes.
Somebody, when I went for the interview for the position I'm in now.
Yes.
Somebody in that interview, I had never done that before, and somebody in that interview said it was so natural, and I had been praying in the car. I walked in with the Holy Spirit, and it was the Holy Spirit that did it.
Amen.
And I said, no, I've never done this before. And
wow.
I was very scared.
Oh.
And he said, it looked so natural.
Amen.
And I said, it was prayer.
Right. Okay. So she went for an interview, and everything she said, and when she stood there, she never did that before, the way she spoke, and she just felt the Holy Spirit when she walked away. That was the Spirit of God. And you also said that, right? Can you remember a time?
Yes. It was not a long ago, mm-hmm, when I was going to my gym in Massapequa.
Yes.
And I saw a man, like, smoking and always in the morning, like with drugs and things. And he was always there, and everybody was so scared because he was, like, stinky and all.
She saw a man smoking and probably on drugs and drinking every day.
Yeah, and then at the moment I was, like, scared.
Yes.
But then, like, I feel like God told me, tell him that he can be liberated.
And you went to him.
And I told him from far, I'm just like a very quiet, calm. And I screamed to him, and the words, they came to my mouth, and I told him, you were not born to be like that. Call Jesus. He can make you free.
Wow.
And then I said, you don't belong here. Go and call.
You know that was the Holy Spirit.
And the man is been never there.
He's never been there again.
Yeah.
Okay, so she felt it when she talked to this man. And she said the words just came out of her. She didn't plan on it, but the Lord told her to go speak to him. And she knew when she walked away, she was operating in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Anyone else? Was there a time? Yes, there was a time.
Yeah. I don't really like to talk about it, but it was a surrealistic time where I saw a woman being attacked at an intersection right in front of me. A car sped by me, and we all wound up at the light right there at 12 o'clock, high noon, right in 347. And this man jumped out of the car, and he started to try to break her window with his forearm. I didn't know it was a woman at first, but I saw someone skulking down. And my pulse, I just didn't know what to do. I cried out, Lord, help. And then I saw him run back to his van. He got a baseball bat, and he came out with the baseball bat, and I started to fish under my seat for a weapon that I, a thing that locks on the steering wheel that's made out of metal to defend myself, you know, and I couldn't find it. I kept grabbing for it, and I just felt, I just was compelled to just go out. And I went out, and I went up, and I put my hands up like this, and I went, stop, we don't need, we call the police, stop. And this man came at me with a baseball bat, and he started to scream, you think I'm afraid of the police? You think I'm afraid of the police? And I just said, no, no, I said, please, we don't have to do this. And I looked around, and the Lord had started to bring people around. It was 12 o'clock noon, so I mean, there was a construction crew came, and there were three crazy guys behind me, one of them with a hammer screaming, I'll get you. And I'm in the middle of all this crazy stuff, just feeling the peace of God. And at that point, the situation was diffused because there was a crowd that built around this whole scene. And I just knew if I would have found that weapon, he probably would have swung at me. There's a way that seems right to a man, you know, especially when they're, but God keeping us. And then just the peace of God that went beyond understanding a really crazy situation.
Amen. Yeah, amen. And he had that, he had that boldness too, you know, power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody like say something to somebody out of the ordinary and you walk away and you say, I didn't plan to do that, you know, and it, you know the Holy Spirit came upon you.
That happened to me, it was years ago. I was on my way to church for a Bible study, and I was just feeling, you know, good, like in the Lord, and these Jehovah's Witnesses came approached me, and you know, they wanted to talk, and I remember I just well, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm going to church right now, and then I just said to them, because I know that they don't believe in the Trinity, and I just remember saying something like, what do you do with the Holy Spirit? And then they just like looked at me and left, and I wasn't thinking of it, it just came out.
Wow.
So I remember thinking, wow.
In the moment. Oh, God is so faithful. In the moment. Anybody else want to share something? Okay, Annette.
I felt one time that I was supposed, I was in Nassau County, and I went to Chick-fil-A, and I felt I needed to speak to someone there. And I saw this woman come, and I spoke to her, and I said, can I pray with you? And she said, yes. And she told me she flew from, it was Hawaii. Her father-in-law had passed away, and she and her husband came. Oh, no, he hadn't passed away yet. He came to speak with, he was going to pass, and the husband came to say the last words to his dad, and I prayed with her for that time and that situation. And or else I would have gone, I would have gone to eat somewhere else. I felt I was supposed to go to that place, you know?
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's just kind of like a little taste, but the Spirit coming upon us, there's going to be an increase. And we're going to be bold, very, very, very bold, and walk away and say, you know, yeah, I want to do that again, because we're being used by God, you know. I remember a few times I felt the Holy Spirit on me, and I walked away and said, oh, boy. But one situation is that I had gone actually to the hospital to get a mammogram, and so they were taking their time, and they did what they had to do, and then they left, and then they came back, and they wanted to take more, and then they wanted to take more mammograms, and I knew I was in trouble, and then they had the doctor come in and spoke to me, and, you know, she said to me, this is cancer, you know, blah, 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 there's no doubt about it, okay. So it was bad news. Anyway, I left the building, and I remember coming out of the building. It was the side door where I was parked, so I went out another door. I opened that door, and when I came outside, I just felt power. It enveloped, I just felt this power. And I knew that moment, I was never going to be the same again. Something was awakened inside of me. I mean, you hear bad news like that, but I was like, wow, you know, walking to my car. Like, it was, okay, Lord, it's going to be all right. But not only that, this is an increase here. I can't forget about this moment where I should have come out of that building, I guess, crying. That would normally be me, you know, calling up my husband or something. And I got in the car, and I drove home, and I remember the sky was so blue, and the clouds were so white. And all the way home, I just kept looking up at the clouds and saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. All the way till I got to my house, because I knew God was doing something. The Holy Spirit, I felt, came upon me. Came upon me. And because he came upon me, I knew I had an increase. And that's what I'm talking about. There's an increase. There's an increase. There's an increase. There's an increase. And there, what's that scripture about the increase? What? Well, you do want to be had your hand up? And there shall be no end. There shall be an increase. There shall be no end in Revelation. But anyway.
I was just going to say that I did not know in both of these situations, I didn't know that my grandchildren were trying to get pregnant. And anyway, it wasn't even, I was waking up and one morning and God said, tell Rachel, she will have a child. That's my grandson's wife, mm-hmm. my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. He didn't say when, he didn't say girl or boy, he didn't say anything, just tell Rachel she will have a child. And so I quick wrote it down, wrote mm-hmm. the date, and I didn't feel to tell them that right away. And so that was like in the spring, and we got around till it was just almost Christmas, and I was mm-hmm. with them out at the house, and I felt the Lord saying, tell them now. Mm-hmm. So I took them downstairs, and I said this. God,
and you said it in boldness.
God said this to me, and she just sat there grinning from ear to mm. ear, because I, like I said, I didn't know they were trying. But, and Christian said, oh, but okay, so when? So is it boy or girl? And she said, Christian.
She did what she was supposed to do. Amen.
God said we'll have a child. And then a couple of years later. Yeah, here we had.
Yeah, so she had the boldness to bring this good news before, you know, before they even conceived. And of the increase there shall be no end. That's what the word says. So what I'm saying is we have the Holy Spirit in us, right? Everybody knows that. But there are times the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and that's when we walk in the power. That's when it feels like it's not us anymore, but it's somebody else taking over. And in the end times, the Holy Spirit will be upon us. But get ready for it now. Don't waste time. Get ready. Ask for it. Get closer and closer to the Spirit of the living God, closer and closer to the Father, more and more into his word. Spend as much time with him as you can. Be a fanatic about it. So there are times in the word where the Holy Spirit came upon, and just like when Nebuchadnezzar saw that fourth man, when the Israelites were stopped in their tracks, the Red Sea opened and parted for them. There was he showed them there was a mighty wind and dry ground. Jesus was the fourth man. Jesus showed up for them. Holy Spirit was there with them. And all of a sudden, the waters parted and there was dry ground. When Hagar was set out, Abraham, you know, just put her out, and she took her son and went into the desert, her little baby boy. Jesus came as a body of water for the little one. He came as a drink of water for that little one. When David cried out, regretting his sin, Jesus came as a cleansing wave of repentance. You are never alone. That fourth man shows up everywhere. When he heard the shout of men and women at Jericho, he came as the deliverer who threw down the mighty walls of Jericho. We most likely will have terrible times ahead and have horrific things, horrific times ahead, but we will be empowered by the Spirit of the living God. We are not able to do anything on our own, but we will be empowered. The Holy Spirit not only in us, but on us, where we will do miraculous things. Miraculous things. I remember one time I went into a store where this man was selling all that junk, you know, stones and all that evil, demonic stuff. And it was this big, towering guy. He was bigger than my husband. And I walked up to him. I waited till there was no one in the store. And he looked at me like, what do you want? And I said, I have to tell you something. What you're doing is wrong. Blah, 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 blah. He said, get out of my store. I said, wait, let me tell you one more thing. Blah, 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 blah. That's not me. He said, get out of my store. And he started, I started walking backwards because I was facing him like this. And he was like coming after me. And I walked out of the store and he said, you something born again Christians, boom. And I got in the car. I was shaking. But I knew that I got out what he had to hear. I knew that I completed what God was calling me to do. You understand what I'm saying? And I felt the power even to go in there. I waited till that man was alone, and he said to me, you want to know something? The Pope prayed for me. I said, do you want to know something? The Pope is just a man. I'm talking about God. There are special times when we need extra strength and fortitude. He will come upon us with power. Take hold of this, people. We are told that the Spirit was upon Moses when he needed it, and a portion of the Spirit was taken from Moses and placed upon 70 elders who ministered with him. Imagine that. The Holy Spirit was upon Moses, and you can look this up. And he took some of that, it was distributed to 70 elders. The scriptures mention the Holy Spirit came on Samuel. The Holy Spirit came on David. The Holy Spirit came upon Isaiah, Ezekiel. The Holy Spirit moved upon the prophets to write so that they could write the scriptures. The Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk with him. The word filled means to be controlled by. That's what, if you look it up, filled with the Holy Spirit means to be controlled by. Not in the flesh. You are in the supernatural. We will be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we continue to walk closer and closer with God, we will have more and more of the Holy Spirit in us and upon us. The Holy Spirit comes upon Christians with power. So stay in the garden where he desires to walk us through it all, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When he comes upon you, he will come with that supernatural power. Power to take your stand and power to face whatever is coming. Would you stand with me, please? Father, there are so many times we read in the Word